Jess Servion, and I'm super excited to bring you my new podcast, The Juice with Jess. This podcast is going to be about everything in your customer's journey. We're talking acquisition, awareness, making that purchase, retaining that customer, bringing them back around, and everything in between. This is going to be all about delivering dope brand experiences and talking to some really amazing people who are in the customer experience space, the marketing space, and everything in between. Hey, welcome back to another episode of The Juice with me, Jess, your host. Listen, my friends, I know I kind of say this every week, but this week I'm actually really serious. I'm serious every week too. My guest this week is Michelle McCombs, and she is the VP of Trust and Experience at Hop Skip Drive. Here's the thing. Fun fact. Michelle and I have known each other for, I don't even know.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Probably
3-5 years. And no, it can't be 3 years. It's got to be like 5 years.
It's got to be 5 years. Yeah.
So Michelle and I met, actually it was like kind of in the height of the pandemic when people like really went online and I was like seeking out mentors to like really help me excel my career in CX. And I forget how Michelle and I met in particular, but we started chatting and vibing and being homies. And at the time I was actually living in DC.
That's right.
Michelle is in LA. I'm currently in LA right now, but I don't live here. Anyway, and so this is why I'm excited. This is why I'm giving you this backstory, because Michelle was actually one of my first mentors. So it is fucking awesome to interview Michelle. And on that note, Michelle, why don't you tell the crowd who you be, girl?
Love it.
Yeah. I'm Michelle McCombs. I am Vice President of Safety and Experience at Hop Skip Drive. And I have been in the CX world, say 15 plus years, yeah. You know, working both at small startups, growing with them, and also got my, you know, my base at Disney and Nestle. And so I have the experience of working with large companies and how they do that well and kind of translating that to help small companies grow. And it's been a wild ride.
I know. That is so crazy. Yeah. Why don't you tell the audience like who Hop Skip Drive is? Because I think it's really important to talk about your company and what your company serves.
Yeah. So Hop Skip Drive is it's a technology company that solves the complex transportation challenges where there's a heightened need for safety, equity, and care. So we kind of do this two ways. One, with a marketplace where we help arrange transportation for kids, older adults, anyone that needs like a little extra support with our highly vetted care drivers on wheels. We really emphasize that they're caregivers driving these people around. And then we also have we build software and advisory services to really help solve big transportation problems that schools and school districts are having around the country. You know, if you're paying attention to the news, there's a lot about bus driver shortages and how to make things more green in transportation. And we're helping really build that and use that and be another lever for schools to use when, especially when they're having to cut costs and get smart with how they're spending their money.
Wow. That's amazing. I think that the mission of your company is really awesome. You know, I was actually just like thinking to myself, like, are your drivers in California too? Like all over the
US?
Yeah,
we are. Okay. We are in 13 states in Washington, D.C., with lots of growth and plan coming. You know, we obviously want to get across the country. The shortage, the problems, the transportation solutions are everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we're working on really building that out. So home base is L.A. You know, the three moms that founded our company are all here solving their own transportation solutions. But we know that just that happened here because it happens everywhere.
Yeah, that's amazing. I want to look into Hop Skip Drive for my dad in Oakland.
Yeah. So. It's a smaller contingency of older adults, but it's so great, especially the caregiving aspect that we require. You know, we have seniors that, you know, these are drivers that will hop out and walk them up to their door. And, you know, we have in Denver, I remember a story of a driver, it was icy. And so he came back with a shovel and just scraped her walk so she could go on her walk. And it's like, that's the type of drivers that we have on our platform. Yeah. And it just makes it so you feel so much more comfortable using it for people that need a little extra help.
Yeah. I mean, talk about surprise and delight in customer experience, right? It's like the next echelon.
Yes.
Of that,
yes.
Right?
Yes. And it's fun for us because it's like we built the brand, but we rely on the drivers to do that for
us. Deliver it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so how do we work with the driver community and help them remember that and reinforce it and celebrate it with them? And it's a fun challenge to do.
Yeah. That's amazing. Well, before we get into like the nitty gritty of like, you know, CX for you and like what that means. And because I can't wait to honestly share your story about it. I learned so much from you. So I want to share this with everybody else, but I really want to talk about your background.
Yeah,
actually. So you've been with Hop Hop, Skip, Drive for over 7 years now?
Yes. Well, almost 7 years.
Almost yes. 7 years. Yeah. I think that that's really amazing, especially in the startup world. Yeah. You know, it's yeah. like, let's dive into that for just 1 second. Yeah. Like, I think in the startup world, like a lot of people don't stay in the same company for a long period of time. Like, what has made you stay at Hop, Skip, Drive?
Yeah. It kind of surprises me every day that I'm still there because I am a person that likes to jump and try new things. And, yeah. you know, I always say what gets me looking for my next job is being bored yeah. and being like, oh, this is what we've done. I've solved this. It's the routine. Like, that's great for some people. It's just not great for me. And I think that's part of why I stayed at Hop, Skip, Drive. Is, you know, we went from when I started, we were just in California. And, you know, we're talking about expanding to Colorado, which is our second market. And with that, I've gotten to try different things. I think, you know, at one point or another, like a lot of the operational and customer facing functions have been under me and popped in and out and stuff like that. And I think that's part of why I love Hop, Skip, Drive is we're willing to try it. If it works, great. Let's keep going. If it doesn't, let's move on. We've learned a great lesson.
Yeah.
And then the mission is really fun because even with, you know, customer service, customer facing roles, safety, you hear a lot of the bad.
Yeah.
But we get to hear a lot of the good. Yeah. And it really is, you know, like the driver that shoveled the sidewalk or, you know, just the engagement that we see with the community or the lives we can make. You know, a lot of the students we help are experiencing homelessness. They're in the foster system. They have special needs and getting to hear like adding some normalcy to their life. And those type of stories really kind of keeps you from burning out over yeah. over all of the bad that can happen.
Yeah. Well, it's like really putting the empathy in customer experience. And I think, and we'll get more into this, but I think that you guys also have a very unique customer experience because at the height of it all is trust and safety, yeah. which is also a very big topic for, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of customer experience teams, yes. especially when you're dealing with a lot of customer data.
Yes.
And like, and I mean, you're dealing with like yeah, very important,
sensitive data.
Very sensitive data. Yeah. And I think, and I actually think that those customer experiences are very different because yeah. I want to say, no, this was at, I joined this company after I met you, but I met you during a time when I worked at a cybersecurity company.
That's right. Yes.
Obviously, like a lot of trust and safety yeah. there, right? But then I went to health tech. And so like in the health tech company, HIPAA, like mm-hmm. everything else, right? Yeah. So my point is though, is like, I can only imagine, like, yes. yes. I can only imagine you're dealing with like children
yes.
and like elders. Yes. So I definitely want to dive into that at some point. But, you know, continuing on the path of like background, I'd love to hear how like the company has changed since you've joined.
Yeah. I mean, first, obviously the size, I came in, I think we were maybe, I would say we're definitely under 50, maybe yeah. even under 30. And now we're kind of at the 250 plus. Less and, you know, markets is there. But what's super interesting has been fun and part of why it's never boring is when we started, like I said, we're founded by three moms looking to solve their own problem. And so we're focused on the parent and being very direct to consumer, right? A parent books a ride for their own kiddo and then care driver fills that ride and it's after school practice, it's this and that. And then we started learning about all the needs for students that, you know, like I said, students experiencing homelessness, students in the foster program. There's a lot of government funding to make sure those kiddos stay at their school of origin, which mm-hmm. is super important for them, right? So if you're moving around a lot, at least you're at the same school, you have the same friends.
Same consistency.
Yeah, you're not falling yeah. behind. And there's just, there hasn't been great ways to do that well. Mm-hmm. You know, schools, they either have to try to send out buses, but it's really hard to send a bus for one kiddo, or they give them a metro pass. But, you know, here in Los Angeles, especially like
big cities, you are you kidding me?
An hour away. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's just, it doesn't make sense. And so a lot of kiddos were missing out on the chance to have that normalcy because of it. And so we got to, we, you know, being part of filling that gap really helped us see that this is a huge problem and we want to be part of the solution. And that's, so we made a really hard pivot from really focused on the parents booking rides for their own kids to what can we do to support the student transportation industry and continue to support it and evolve with it and help them, you know, like I said at the top, right?
Yeah.
Build better solutions and more efficient solutions and be part of that, helping out all the students across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, transitioning to this, like, mm-hmm. and talking about like the transportation industry, like what does that customer experience look like?
Yeah, it's a fun one because, you know, we have a lot of customers. So mm-hmm. we have our care driver community, right? They're independent contractors. They're choosing every day if they're going to do these rides or not. And so we have to make sure we're focused on that experience. We have the kiddos in the car. We have their parents or caregivers, right? Guardians, grandmas, aunts, uncles, whomever may be taking care of them, keeping their eyes on them. And then we have our school clients. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, usually we're working with the transportation department or a homeless liaison or something like that, who this is one of a million things that they're doing. So how do we make it really easy for them to use us and help us be part of that solution and solve and help those kiddos? And so we get lots of feedback from a lot of different points about it. And there's a lot of involved parties to make sure that we're thinking about and supporting well with all very unique needs.
And that's a lot.
It's a lot. And it gets even more like, you know, like, oh, it's a school district, but a school district, like, you know, we're helping out students with special needs. So we're working with the special needs department. And then we have students experiencing homelessness, and that's their homeless liaison. And then we have kiddos in the foster program, and that's a different person. And so it's like, it's one customer, right? The one school district is our customer, but four different people with four different big different needs. And
yeah.
And those kiddos have different needs too, and what they need and what they need Hop, Skip, Drive to do and how that experience is. And so it's a lot to think about and prioritize and bounce between.
Yeah, absolutely. How big is your team? Like your experience team?
My team right now, we are at 63 and growing.
Wow.
What is
the structure of that?
Yeah. So I have kind of four pillars of kind of the safety and ride experience. So we have my Safe Ride support team. They're phenomenal. They're kind of, I liken them to like an ER nurse. They are dealing with the rides in progress. So they are trying to just solve it and go to the next thing, right? They get all of this inbound urgent stuff. Yeah. And so they're just kind of like, you know, good. Okay, next. And then they're just going and churning. Then I have my in-ride experience crew. They're working on operational excellence. What can we do to continue to deliver on our promise of a great experience for all of our users on the platform?
Yeah.
What is the root cause of some of these problems, right? So if there's a problem about the ride, like a great example is we have an option where parents or school can put in notes about the rider, like, hey, FYI, you know, Michelle doesn't like loud music when she gets in the car, and it's like that, how to make it successful.
Yeah.
And what we hear sometimes frustration from the schools is, why don't these drivers follow these notes? But then we hear frustration from the drivers of why are these notes so confusing? They give me contrary information. Mm-hmm. And so how do we get to the bottom? The bottom is everyone wants this kiddo to have a good ride. So what do we need to do? How do we set up both sides for success? How do we make sure that they know what they should put in these notes and what's important about it? And how do drivers know when to follow them and stuff like that? And so that's kind of what that in-ride team is doing.
Wow.
And then I have my trust and safety team dedicated to kind of the harder escalations that, you know, happen, right? There's vehicles on the roads every day with different people having different experiences. And so there's, you know, there's personality mismatches, there's flat tires, there's, you know, just lots of different things that they deal with and making sure we have a great quality driver on our platform.
Wow. That's crazy.
So much.
Because like, I remember meeting you and your team wasn't that big.
No.
So that's a lot of growth.
It's a lot of growth. Yes.
That's pretty amazing.
It's been pretty consistently 2x-ing every year. So it's exciting, but it's a lot.
Well, I mean, this is actually a really good transition because I actually really want to ask you questions about kind of like what CX leaders should be looking at and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I would love to know from your CX leadership perspective, like what are the metrics that you utilize to ensure that your team is very successful?
Yeah, I get a lot. I go into a lot of different data points and I like to look at a lot of different things. I think one of the most important things for especially my Safe Ride support team that we look at is what percentage of calls are we answering in 2 minutes? We kind of set the 2 minutes as like, how long is it okay to say like, yeah, this is a reasonable, like 2 minutes waiting to talk to someone about an urgent thing, you know, like what percentage of the team is doing, like how many calls are hitting that, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, this is a team that they have to, like sometimes the call is, hey, I just wanted, you know, my app's not working. Can you tell me the driver's on my way? Yeah, the driver's there. They're on their way. They'll be there in 5 minutes. Great. Bye. Right. Done. Or there's a, you know, situation where a driver calls and is like, hey, you know, this kiddo is having a meltdown in the car and they're hitting me and I need to pull over. What do I do? Right. And so it's really hard to hold the team to like a handle time because you want them doing 30 seconds with that one person and 10 minutes with the next person? And how do you do that? And so we've been really focused on what are the service levels. We look at handle time. We look at, you know, average wait time, stuff like that. But we really are focused on and really hold the team accountable for how fast are we getting to the calls? How are we helping them? We call it average talk percentage. So what percent of your time are you actively talking to a customer or available to talk to a customer? Mm-hmm. If you're doing that, if that's really high, then that's what we expect of you in your role. And then we do satisfaction surveys.
Yeah. As you do.
Yes, as you do, right? It's great because we use a system that I think does a really good job really highlighting, like, tell me about the specialist. That's what we call our team, specialist. Yeah. Tell us about the specialist and not necessarily the situation, which I know is a lot of the big feelings about satisfaction surveys is if you have to say no, that they're going to give me a no, they're going to give me a one. And it's, yeah.
I mean, you see that a lot. Like, you definitely see that a lot, yeah. Like, especially in actually e-commerce,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But e-commerce versus B2B is kind of different, yes. Right? So in B2B or B2C, yes. Right? Because you're kind of this mix, right? Yes. It's like you have features and you do the things and you have your end users, right? Mm-hmm. So a no is kind of a lot different, yes. Than an immediate no.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
And then an e-commerce where you're no on a refund, of course you're gonna be I'm pissed.
Right.
Like,
yeah. One stop.
Because then you're actually dealing with actual consumer behavior, yes. Behavior rather than just usage behavior.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly. Yes.
So it's metrics are but I think that the metrics do intertwine, right? Like exactly. Satisfaction does intertwine, mm-hmm. on the same on whichever side you're on.
Yes.
But I think that a lot of things are just very different.
Yeah. And it's I always emphasize to my team, they're great. They're always I just can't get to 100%. I was I don't want you to get to 100%. That makes me think you're probably giving away money or doing things that you shouldn't, right? And so it's that's why we do 90% is our goal on our team.
Yeah.
And it's that's why we do 90%. We understand that even if you are perfect on every call, it is subjective.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so how do we balance that? But we're always talking about how do we balance the efficiency and the quality and make sure we're tracking both equally.
Yeah. I think that's also a really good call out too, because even for me being a CX leader, 15 plus years as well, I've only strived for 96% and above, mm-hmm. but I think that that's actually a really good call that 90% is better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
90% is better because that 10% difference isn't going to fucking make or break anything.
No.
Let's be fucking
real. You can very quickly find out if someone is their scores are low because they're struggling on the phone and they need soft skill work, or if it's just, you know what I mean? You can, those people they show themselves in other ways too. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Last comment.
No, yeah.
But also, I don't think your CSAT surveys should be end all be all.
Yes.
You got to look at the whole picture, mm-hmm. of it, right?
Yeah.
But I see so many people just being oh, I love a CSAT. That's my only metric. I'm my dudes.
No.
My dudes. You got to look at the whole picture of it, right?
Yeah, because it's the one, and maybe a long haul time comes into a CSAT.
Yeah.
Maybe this or that happens, that maybe you do get a lower CSAT if you take 20 emails to respond.
Right.
But for the most part, you're not, right? It's important. It's a good measure, but it's not. And, especially for my team and, like I said, fast paced, a perfect CSAT probably means really, really low call volume. And I need them to do both.
Absolutely, yes. Man. Okay, so really interesting about metrics, because I do understand that and I love the philosophy of it. Let's talk about retention though. How does retention work at Hop, Skip, Drive?
Yeah. Yeah. It's again where we kind of look at it at different angles with all the different community members we have, right? Care driver retention is monitored and cared about by one team, and rider retention, right? It's an interesting one to play with, because it's, did we lose the rider because of a bad experience, or did we lose the rider because they've moved schools, or whatever it might be?
Yeah.
And then our client retention is really, really strong. And that's, very much due to, we have a very dedicated account management sales team that really makes the client feel heard. What's great is they're transportation people that we work with a lot. And so they get that it can't be perfect every single time. And what they love about us is that we're striving for it and that we're open and transparent about areas of opportunity. So it's like, hey, we know that didn't go well. We're not going to pretend. We're going to tell you it didn't go well, and we're going to tell you what we're going to do about it. And that's really what sets us apart from a lot of the other, a ton of players in the space, but some of the other players in the space is just that real, that ownership and that transparency and that relationship that we've built with our community.
I mean, yeah, I think it's very community driven.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. And I think obviously retention is completely different for y'all versus like another B2B company or an e-com company or any of these things, right? Like, there's no like real metrics that you can put behind it.
Yeah.
And other than like churn rate.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of those too. It's like we talk a lot about how like we need to be so focused on that experience because there's only so many school districts and they talk, right? And it's like, you know, the microcosm you see of like a promoter or detractor in like, you know, a direct-to-consumer thing is amplified significantly when there's, you know, 6,000 school districts across the country. And so, you know, remembering that everything we do, they'll tell their friends, good or bad, and they rely on us is super important for us and our growth. It's helped us like, oh, they use you, then we know you're great.
Yeah.
And it's also been like, I was talking to my friend. She's worried about this. How do we improve on that? You know?
Yeah.
And so it's really...
Yeah. Man, I think that word of mouth is so interesting for retention. You know, just... Even in just being in this space, right, of like being a CX leader, but also like being really like a lot of different relationships with like partners, right? And having a lot of different like advocacy, like conversations. It's just really interesting that like sometimes, and I'm saying this out loud and I'm saying this directly to the camera, because sometimes your retention, my friends, isn't just in your fucking metrics.
Yes.
And this applies to B2B, B2C, or D2C companies. Sometimes you got to go out there and do the consumer research and survey your customers or just experience the experience for yourself, right? Because like what I'm learning is like learning and have recognized and just pointing it out, the word of mouth carries more weight than a metric sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's, you know, and I think that's again where our client base really loves that we come in and we talk to them and we bring donuts and we, you know, build those relationships. It's so critical and it's so key. And it's like how I think, you know, thinking about that for any company, you know, when I think about what type of CX experience I like to build in my career, it's where, you know, there's the surprise and delight, there's the effortless experience, there's lots of different theories. And I'm like, well, but like there can be both, right?
There absolutely can be both.
And
absolutely.
And catering it to what you need and who you're and understanding who your clients are is really the big important thing there.
Yeah, absolutely. Understanding who your clients are. I think also, because I think this is really interesting and really interesting also for the viewers and listeners. So Michelle and I come from like a B2B background that ended up maybe in D2C at times or B2C, right? And I think that one of the things that I've talked about a lot is how my B2B career has really influenced e-com, right? Like my e-com career, right? Like, and you can flip back and forth between it. And I think that there's so many lessons, like it's so many lessons to be learned on each side of it. And so where I'm getting, because I'm going to land this plane, I promise you, okay, is that I've been on both sides of customer support and customer success, as well as product marketing. And so, and I think that like when you think about it, the relationship building aspect of it, and it's so what you're talking about, like your client success, but then you're also your drivers, and then even in the individuals, that's relationship building, and that's what makes a good customer experience. You know, effortless experience, absolutely. Surprise and delight, absolutely. And I think that those things definitely all apply. But when you look at your customer, you look at your client, it's the relationship building that's going to build things for you.
That I see you, right?
Yeah.
It's that, you know, like I know who you are and I understand your pain and I want to solve it for you, which is, and I think that's, it can be, you know, people talk about, oh, well, they, you know, when you're hiring, right? I started out very early on. I started in like online gaming and people are like, well, can you make that transition? And I was like, look, let me tell you about what a customer is in online gaming. As a passionate person willing to put their money where their mouth is. Like that's something, that's a customer regardless of what it is.
Yeah.
And it's, what's great is like what I appreciate in a customer is the passion. And so I love that about a customer community. I don't like, when I think about where I want to go with my career and the different industries I've been in, like they've all built on each other because at the end of the day, it's appreciating the human and that what they need.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you also, I want to transition real quick, just because like you're also one of my mentors, right? Like I've known you a long time, but I think you just hit on a really good fucking point.
Yeah.
How sometimes people look at you in your career and then you'll be like, oh, well, how are you going to do this and then do this?
Yes.
Right. Yes. And like, so your story about like the online gaming to switching to like, I don't know what was after that, but like
online movies. But now I'm in rideshare for kids.
Yeah.
You know, like all over. Yeah.
But like, the individual's philosophies about CX can all relate, right? Yes. I'm not saying it's all the same. I'm not saying CX is all support
different playbooks,
driven.
Different.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Strategy. Yeah.
Absolutely. But the reason I wanted to bring it up again, because I've mentioned this before in a previous episode, but several episodes actually, I think, is that it's so interesting because I came from a B2B background and to have then switched into Feastables, but I applied for so many D2C jobs, so many D2C jobs, like, because I really wanted to I wanted to build my career and have that other like e-com side of it, right?
Yes.
I think I knew you during this period.
I think so. Yes. I think that's when we could like start chatting more.
Yeah. And yes, it was. Yeah. It was. And so, and I remember nobody giving me a chance.
Yeah.
And then I remember one of the feedbacks from a very well-known brand said to me, like, and it wasn't negative, it was nothing terrible, but they were like, oh, your resume is like, and your pedigree is so amazing, but you don't have D2C experience.
And you're just like, ah.
I know. But what's so crazy about that is that I then ended up got the Feastables job like years later, right? And the reason I did is because I was like in Chicago at the right place and like they took a chance on me.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're so just like, thank you.
Yeah. But like, that's my point though, right? Sometimes take a chance.
Yes.
Because somebody who might have a background of B2B or success or whatever, if they're passionate about it and they love your brand and they love like what it is that you're doing or building, they're probably going to be a dope ass employee.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, exactly.
A fucking badass.
Yes. And like, it's, I think I get to relearn that a lot with my Safe Ride support team, right? Because like, who else is doing live monitoring of rides where drivers, you know, like it's just,
it's exactly
right. And it's like, you know, people are like, well, can you recruit from like 911? I was like, no, can't recruit from 911. Like those people are highly paid professionals.
Like,
or like, you know, like someone's like, how about air traffic control? And I was like, I think that's an advanced degree. Like I need someone to answer phone calls. And sometimes I do need like that 911 brain. And sometimes I need the customer service brain.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, when I think about what leaders I need in that team and who I need on that team, I'm like, I need a little bit someone that understands like their job is to make sure things happen well and safely.
Yeah.
And they need to be responsive and reactive. And one area that it's been fun to recruit from is like improv, because the yes and.
Your CX is great. That phrase is so last season. We want to hear your CX is incredible, because at Customer, we believe in delivering incredible customer experiences. Introducing KIQ Agent Assist, the ultimate CX team AI sidekick built on our CRM to give agents superhero capabilities and efficiency. When building KIQ Agent Assist, we had goals in mind. One, get rid of long customer wait times and increase the speed of customer resolution. Two, provide the CS team with real-time data for personalized prompt. Three, delegate those mundane tasks to AI. And four, free up the agents to deliver a human experience. But listen, we didn't stop there. We wanted to deliver more. Check out KIQ Agent Assist's amazing features with suggested responses, automatic two-way translation in 53 languages, and conversation summary. Upgrade your customer experience with KIQ Agent Assist. Try it today and see the difference. Customer, delivering incredible CX every single time.
Oh,
because they get they get a wild scene thrown at them. And they would say, okay, I acknowledge the scene and I'm going to build on it, right? And that's fun in improv, but it works so well in customer service too. But like, how many people are willing to take a chance on someone who like their whole background has been like comedy writing and improv?
I know. I mean, honestly, this episode will be after, right? This episode. But this person that I'm bringing on, Lucy Samuel, she comes from improv. Right.
Yeah.
And what's really amazing about her, though, is she had a background in CX, customer experience, right?
Yeah.
Previously and then after and then like transitioned into D2C. And now she's a fucking amazing copywriter.
Love it.
For e-commerce brands.
Love it.
But that's my point is like everybody has a different background.
Yes.
Right.
And it's not like, to me, like there's not a ladder too, right?
Right.
Like,
there's not a fucking ladder.
No. Like chase what's interesting. It's like, that's like a Hopsco drive, you know, being there 7 years. It's like, I'm like, yeah, let me try it. Let me see what like, and then, you know, some things will year later, we're like, that was a great try.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And I appreciate when they're willing to take a chance on me, right?
Yeah.
And see if we can do it. And but like, it's not, it shouldn't be this prescribed thing.
Right.
And
absolutely.
My
absolutely.
Next job, who knows what it will be, right? Is it gonna, you know, like I'd always joke about, I'm gonna go open an Airbnb or not yeah. Airbnb, but like a B&B and just like go be cute with that.
You do know? You wanna know what my dream is?
What is that?
Okay, so my dream is actually to get my herbalist certification.
Ooh.
And start some sort of apothecary.
Yes. Let me know if you do.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. We're that. Manifesting over love here it, love on it. This episode, okay?
Yeah. I feel yeah. like a lot of people like in customer service, customer facing, customer experience roles like have that backup dream of like just like a calm yeah. life, right?
This is, no, a calm life, absolutely. Yes. It's so interesting as you get older, like yes. the more and more you crave it.
Yes.
You know, because I'm older now.
Right. Girl. I know, right? I'm just, that's, you know.
I'm not going to let y'all know right? how old I am because the Botox will be fooling you. Okay. But yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, mom's tired.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's tight tech.
Right.
But I also really like, I have this dream of having my own e-commerce brand. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Because I know so much about marketing. Yes. I know so much about customer experience. I'm not saying I'm an expert by
no.
any means.
No, but you're
but
like,
I love a trial and error.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love a pivot.
I love this. I'm going to work from you. Let me know.
Okay.
I want this full circle.
Michelle and Jess, set it up. Apothecary. Let's go.
It. Let's do it.
So I want to ask you this yeah. question because we're talking so positively about like people who,
yeah.
you know, take a chance and do all these yeah. things, right? Yeah. And you're, man, you are a baddie leader, okay? Like you've been in the space for a long time, right? I'm curious from you, have you had a terrible hire?
Yes. I think that's like one of the best things I learned in my career is like hiring.
How do you deal with
that? You can't bat 100.
I've
had a handful, you know, and some of it, it's, I talk a lot about skill and will, right? And like how, like, if they have the will to do it, but not the skill, that's workable. But if they don't have the will, if they are, you know, if they are toxic, like that's
yes,
where you gotta
toxic.
Get rid of it.
The toxicity, like that's the one, oh my God, that's the nail on the head yeah. is the toxicity because it's like, it's not even just will.
Yeah.
It's like, if you are just a toxic person, yes. that is like a snake in the grass.
Yes.
You know?
And one thing I found too is like, you know, it's a small world.
Oh, don't.
You know, like, I'm always like, it's a weird way. Like, you know, I've had people who have like exited in a blaze of glory. And mm-hmm. like a year later, someone's like, hey, I'm talking to this person. I saw mm-hmm. you worked with them. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I would not rehire them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And
word of mouth.
Yeah. It's big. And it, you know, and being smart about that, right? Like, and just, I, you know, and I think it's just to like assume positive intent from people yeah. is important, but also, you know, just remember like people know each other. The yeah. world is small. It is small.
I mean,
we're proof.
I know.
It's like awkward high five.
1, 2, 3.
There we go.
For anybody listening in, right. we high fived because yes. Michelle and I do have a story, but we are skating that line, my friends. But yeah, I think you can't bat 100 no. on hires.
No.
And like, and I think what's really important as customer experience leaders, like whether you're in that position of mm-hmm. like, I'm managing the support team, the community, trust mm-hmm. and safety, whatever yeah. aspect that is, right? The thing is that you have to, I wouldn't say you have to, but you are kind of at the core of the company's like culture.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, very it's much. Really funny at Feastables because I'm sorry, everybody. I like constantly talk about this scenario and I apologize. Like,
everyone knows what she's about
yeah,
to say.
Yeah, yeah. No, like it just even about Feastables, yeah. right? But like also Feastables was my fifth startup.
Yeah.
You know?
And you did like a phenomenal job there. And so.
Thanks, girl.
You know it.
A lot of sleepless nights. I'm yeah. going to be honest with you.
I mean, I believe that.
But what I was going to bring up about yeah. that is that I was like fourth employee at Feastables, yeah. right? And yeah. so it's really funny because as a customer experience leader, yeah. like you, we have so much empathy and we're like the
yes.
moms
yes.
or the dads
yes.
of the org, right?
Yes.
And
very
it's
much.
So, what's so hilarious is that as we were building Feastables, I kind of became this pseudo HR person, but like not the
You're
HR
like,
in
I
the bad
be.
Way. Cause like we all know Jess drops an F-bomb or two, right? But I became the person that yeah. everybody was like, how do I get get into this? Yes. What do I do to this? Yes. Or just like, I need career advice to do this stuff, right?
That. Yes. I love that. That's my favorite thing about, especially like, you know, as a CX professional, like that's not any kid's dream, right?
Yeah.
Just to come in and
I mean, you don't walk in and say like, yeah. I'm going to work for customer service today. Right?
I love it. Yeah. But so I jokingly talk about like my little baby birds and trying to get them at every other department of the company and being like, let's like, I have a person who knows this company, take a chance and push on that. And it's part of, you know, like you said, the team mom.
I know.
Like cheerleader of my group.
Cheerleader though. Yeah. It's a cheerleader. I mean, like the episode, you know, we're not sure of the order because obviously these things are recorded before, but there's an episode with Mark Galvez and he is the head of CX at Taste Salud. And like, I am so proud of him because I was his cheerleader, right? Like I was brought in to be his cheerleader and like that dude is doing some dope shit now,
that's
man.
Amazing.
Like he's like, he's a baddie, but he's like that story about like being a CX leader, right? You have these people that are just doing oh my God, my baby's grown up.
Yeah.
You know?
You're like, look at you go.
I'm like, you know? And I think that's like one of my favorite things about being a CX leader though, is because we do have so much like empathy and we are a part of the experience and the culture.
Yeah.
That you end up making like a lot of friends for life.
Yes.
And seeing them like really just like grow and thrive.
Yeah.
I just fucking love it.
Yeah. And it's like, I know people on LinkedIn, you know, like it can get a little chaotic.
Yeah. I mean, my LinkedIn's chaotic.
But I love it. But like, it's also what I love too is like seeing, like being able to have a chance to see that. I actually, one of my employees at Disney, he had posted about like, you know, I took a chance on this job that I was not paying the bills and, you know, and he's like, and look where I am now. And I really like, I'm so grateful I did that. And I was like, I had like tears in my eyes. I was like, my little baby birds, like even X number of years later in my career, seeing that is just so, it's the empathy. It's the, you know, it's cheerleading. It's the knowing great people can go do great things.
Absolutely. But do you also think that is because we're millennial CX leaders?
Oh, interesting.
There's like a whole like new thing about the millennial manager.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
And every time I watch this,
stop
like
attacking me.
I know. Every single time I watch these reels, I'm like, dang, that's literally me.
Right? I know. I was like, oh, TikTok's got me good. Like, they got my, they know who I am. Let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
It's creepy, but we're going to roll with it because they give those great millennial managers where you're like, that's so me.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to ask you like a couple of like kind of technical questions that I'm really curious about because we're coming to the end of the road in our Boys to Men voice.
Love it. That's how you know we are
millennials.
not Gen Z.
I know, right? If you're Gen Z, you're probably like,
it's okay. What? Boys to Men is great. Go check them out.
Yeah. Probably playing at a state fair somewhere near you.
Probably not as many as when they were famous.
Yeah, Anyway, okay. So like your company, obviously there's a lot of trust and safety.
Yes.
There's a lot of like privacy and you're dealing with very sensitive stuff. I'm curious in your CX team, are you utilizing any sort of AI?
A little bit. It's a hot topic, right? Mm-hmm. It's a hot topic everywhere. And because of the privacy stuff, we're very nervous about it. But, you know, when I talk about like our software and advisory solutions, like a lot of that is AI powered. You know, we're helping school optimize and look at students' routes and say, hey, like the bus should exist. Like we should not replace the school bus. It's 60 kids in one vehicle going. Like, let's help you look at traffic patterns and what your needs are and put all of this information into a data model. And we're going to tell you the best route. And we can save you money. We can save you time. We can save, you know, inefficient bus usage is horrible for the climate. Like, let's fix all of that. And that's all AI powered. And so it's like, it's definitely good. We don't use it as much yet. We want to do a lot more with the trust and safety stuff, right? How do we take like, you know, you can do a positive or a negative, right? So how do I say, tell me who my problems are, like a la Minority Report. Or you can take all of the data and information we have and say like, these are my best drivers. Mm-hmm. What is their common denominator? Mm-hmm. How do I get other people to be like that? Or what is, you know, like if you have machine learning, all of the things, all the million behaviors that happen, like what is the chain of behaviors that we can do to prevent? Like, do we have an interpersonal conflict? Because the chain is this driver's been back to back on 6 rides and they've had full cars and it's a heat wave in Texas. And of course, they're going to explode when something goes wrong. And, you know, like, what do we do? What can we do about that? How do we use technology to give driver better feedback about their driving behaviors? How do we keep the whole all the road safer? And so a lot of it we're in a discussion because it's such sensitive data, we want to make sure we do it right. We want to be thoughtful about it. You know, putting stuff into the beast can be scary. And so we want to be thoughtful. We know it's what's coming, but we know it is I kind of always talk about, people talking about efficiency and this and that. How do we do it? And I always like to remind my team, like, there's always gonna be things where you need a human brain to do it, but let's have the robot do the stuff that doesn't need. We always talk about, if you need a heart and a brain, we need a human. Yeah. But if you need just a brain, let's have the robot do it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we're at.
That's a really good theory about AI for sure. And that's a good way to like simplify it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to insert a Boys to Men song in this moment because this is the end of the road.
I love it.
Michelle, where can the audience find you?
Not much. No. LinkedIn. I'm LinkedIn, obviously. I'm a millennial, right? I think LinkedIn's probably the place. I go very like heavy and then not. I'm very fickle with my socials. And so LinkedIn's going to be best.
Yeah. All right. Michelle McCombs. Yes. We'll put a link in the show notes. And if you're interested in Hop Skip Drive, we'll also put a link in the show notes too for you to check them out, because I think it's a very innovative company to help with like elders, children, anybody who like really needs that extra care with for rides. And that's it, my friends. Thank you for joining me for another week of The Juice, and I will see you, or you'll hear me, next Thursday. Wow, you made it to the end of the episode. That means that you like me and I like you, which also means you should subscribe to this show.